ThisEpicLife.com presents The Manifesto, Chapter 11, Defining Our Non-Negotiables. Non-negotiable number 4, Art. Shortly after we moved to Chicago, I booked a little show just to remind myself I could still play. The only people we knew in the city were coworkers, and a few actually showed up. One brought her fluffy-haired, drunk, and jaded roommate from college. This woman now had kids and a giant house and just seemed really bored with all of it. After my first set, she complimented me and then followed it with, "Your wife must really be a saint to stay home with the baby and let you keep doing your hobbies so late on a work night." I laughed and said, "Fortunately, you don't know me or my wife." A lot of well-meaning friends and even fellow musicians have attempted to talk straight to Gail about my obsessions with music over the years. She looks at them dumbfounded like, "Do you think I don't know who I married? He's always been this way. It's who he is." All work and no rock makes Chrissy rather intolerable. Music remains my longest practice. It informs my spirituality, my family, my work, and my life. It levels me out. My grandfather took me to Lincoln Center and Juilliard as a kid to hear the orchestras. Meanwhile, I was soaking up every single second of hair metal and shit rock on MTV. I've been consumed with music for as long as I can remember. As a 5-year-old, I wanted to be Barry Manilow. Don't judge, Barry knows what's up. I took up cello and piano lessons in elementary school. As a teenager, I discovered Flea and Les Claypool from Primus, and from that point on, it was only about bass.
Before you went to college, or could ever afford that suit. Before you met your wife and kids, around Burgundy rocked the flu. When the internet was farmland, as far as the eye could see, you'd lock yourself up in your room and you'd rock that energy. You played bass. You didn't have nothing better to do, you played bass. And that was good enough for you, you played bass.
Later I moved into singing and songwriting, taking up guitar. For the last few years I've put out records as the Christopher Carter Show. Back in college I got an audition for one of my favorite ska bands. Every bassist in the state wanted the gig. The Twist-Offs were a well-known regional touring act. It was a first-class ticket out of the Northeast Ohio music scene. Since I was already a super fan, I knew most of the songs. My extreme shyness dissipated once I entered the rehearsal space. This was my shot. I had to send all those other bassists packing. So I did. For the next few years, we averaged 250 shows in more than 35 states. Our disgusting, creepy, converted school bus became homeschooling for music and comedy. It was a period of blissed out, sleepless insanity. My chops and comfort zone desperately needed the push. Music was probably the first language I fully understood and could express with any level of confidence. It always represented pure joy and fathomless power. As a kid, all those years spent in rehearsals kept me out of trouble and provided structure and discipline. I made many of my lifelong friends through music, and continue to do so. There are so many aspects of playing or performing that could be applied to every other aspect of my work life. Music taught me that life can be viewed from the top on down, standing above a labyrinth of frets and strings, seeing and hearing only possibilities. Get in there and work it out, kid. Make people dance and enjoy themselves. Make sure you're enjoying yourself. In recent experiments, I've combined meditation and bass grooves. Both are somewhat simple in theory, yet mystical, bottomless, and somewhat elusive in practice. In both cases, you always know when you're screwing up, but you unquestionably feel when you're in the pocket. Life is an endless cycle of falling in and out of sync with the cosmic, infinite groove. For me, music has become synonymous with spirituality. The more I learn, the more there is to know. The more I know, the more I'm dying to learn. I take my band experiences into every sales meeting, whether reading a room, collaborating with clients, or ratcheting up the energy. It all has to rock. If it doesn't, why bother? Music and life are about moving people, be it ourselves or the lucky few in attendance. Bass moves the most air from the subs, and I can feel my DNA shift whenever I have that religious experience. And it makes no difference anymore whether it's my bass moving the air or not. All right, let's take a couple minutes and put this into practice. Earlier this summer, I had the privilege of hearing Brené Brown speak, and she had this brilliant quote in her talk. She said, "Unused creative energy is not benign." And that really stuck with me because obviously if you're creative, you know what this means, that energy is absolutely malignant. If you're trying to stop up this, what I call God force or creative energy or just life force flowing through you, it will start to manifest in kind of darker ways. It'll start with your mood. It could affect your health eventually. Any of the times that I've made that poor choice of trying to stop my practice or trying to pack up all my gear and put it away and just live my life and not think about music for a while. It not only taps me on the shoulder to remind me that it's who I am, it actually starts to beat the hell out of me a little bit. So step one of this exercise is just acceptance. Accepting that this is who you are and this is who you will be when you're 40, 50, 60, 70, and beyond. You just don't know any better. You're creative. Accept it. Get over it. Step two is practice. Musicians, artists, creators, they create, they practice, they express. So you have to make it as accessible and as easy as possible to actually carry out your mission here and do some practicing. For me, over the years, as we moved in from small apartments to bigger apartments to this big old funky house we have now, it's always been about putting my gear on the beaten path, meaning that I literally want to trip over it to make sure that I'm picking it up. Because once I pick it up, I start noodling around. Once I start noodling around, I'll sit down for a couple hours and play or write some songs. Whether that's your paints or your writing, whatever that happens to be, put it out in front of you. Make sure it's accessible. Make sure that you can see it. So in my experience, this idea of accessibility is really at least half the battle here. For example, last night I was on my way home from a long week of work travel. I was pretty tired. I had spent a lot of time in the car and in front of clients and just pretty drained in some ways. However, I also knew that I really had to stay on track with this recording of this podcast series. I have to do some music practice, some catching up on some writing and some revising some stuff. So before I walked in the door and met all the happy kids and got them into the baths and dinner and on and on and on, I wanted to set a trigger for myself to make sure that my creative time happened. It was a simple thing of deciding that before I go and see the family, I'm just going to walk in the studio real quick and turn on all my gear. It seems like a very simple thing, but when it's time, you know, later in the night to come downstairs, turn on everything, get it all fired up, cue up tracks and turn on compressors and stuff, it does really become a little bit more daunting for the brain. This was actually supported by the book, The Happiness Advantage by Sean Aker. He was trying to set this habit of playing his guitar for 30 days. He knew it would really improve the quality of his life by doing this, but he just wasn't doing it. He did exactly what I just recommended, which was put it basically in a place where he would trip over it, and then you're more likely to pick it up. So please keep those two things in mind. One is acceptance. Just accept this is who you are. The world needs you, so you got to be doing your craft. Step two is accessibility around your practice. From there, depending on the demands for your creative output, scheduling and structure will definitely fall into place. But at this point, I'm just more concerned with talking to the people that know that they're a creator that might not have the time or be making the time to do it. It's definitely a kind of a battle for everybody, but I could assure you that this is some of the most important work you can do. All right, as always, thank you so much for listening, and please stay tuned for the next episode where we take all of these non-negotiables so far and put them towards the big contribution we're going to make to the world around us, which is our work.
Thanks for checking out this Epic Life podcast. You can subscribe to future episodes on iTunes. Hit us up on Twitter at This Epic Life. And for exclusive content, including outtakes from the manifesto, please visit thisepiclife.com. You can sign up in the upper right.